And we thought that it would be a good idea to start the day with an overview of what's going on at the Eclipse Foundation around IoT. And for those of you who don't necessarily know what the Eclipse Foundation is, well, you know Linux Foundation, you know the Mozilla Foundation, maybe the Apache Software Foundation. We are one of those open source foundations that help companies and individuals be successful with open source software. So essentially, we provide a vendor-neutral body that helps, well, to this day, there will be more than 350 projects and more than 270 companies collaborate on open source software, right? There's like putting a project on GitHub is one way to do open source. When you start being more serious about possibly doing and building a business around your open source project, you may want to get some clear governance in terms of like what does it mean to collaborate on the project, to share and to co-own the roadmap, basically. So providing this platform, if you will, for projects to collaborate is what we do. And so we've been around for more than 15 years, and we're a pretty small team. We are about 30 people, many of us being here this week in Ludwigsburg for EclipseCon Europe. So if you want to learn more about what we do, come and find us. And yeah, we do lots of open source in many areas. IoT is one. Embedded software modeling, you may know Eclipse as the Java IDE. We have lots of stuff in the IDE space for C, C++ development, Java, cloud-based development. And yeah, to my point earlier, it's essentially the Eclipse Foundation, just like, again, other open source foundations, the goal is really to provide a framework, a legal framework for companies and individuals to collaborate on open source. I think many of you have at one point or the other contributed to an open source project. You know that licenses are not necessarily always the easiest thing to understand, and contributor agreements, etc. What does it mean to share intellectual property and to collaborate on open source software? What does it mean to build a community around your open source project? Again, GitHub, Twitter, whatever, you can certainly grow a community on your own. But if you really want to sort of scale, you can get help from an open source foundation. We help organize and co-organize events, just like the Smart Home Day today, and that really helps grow the community around around your open source project. We provide the infrastructure. What does it mean to have the resources that you need on a day-to-day basis to like things like mailing lists and forums and continuous integration machines, servers. So this kind of services we provide to our members. And in the field of IoT, again, we are really active. And companies like Bosch, like Red Hat, like Deutsche Telekom, they, like, you may not know that. I mean, maybe for Deutsche Telekom you do, but many of those companies, they actually have open source at the heart of their open source IoT, of their IoT strategy. And yeah, for them, growing a community is critical. And this is a quote from Stefan from Bosch Software Innovations, and I think that reflects the strategy of many other companies. Essentially, you have Azure IoT, you have AWS IoT, you have maybe a bunch of other platforms, and many others, probably hundreds of others. In 10 years' time, it's very likely that there will be lots of consolidation in the IoT platform space, just like we've seen consolidation in I guess the good old internet space, and today the internet runs on open source. So what companies like Bosch, Red Hat, and Deutsche Telekom, what they think is that the future of IoT essentially is going to be open source. Yes, there's room for commercial platforms as well, but innovation really happens through open source. Yeah, so what do we do at Eclipse IoT? Eclipse IoT is a community, if you will, and a working group in the at the Eclipse Foundation, where companies and individuals collaborate on building and creating all the technology that's needed for an open source sort of end-to-end Internet of Things. And beyond the technology, and to my point earlier, we also aim at building a community and do whatever it takes to educate developers around what open standards are relevant, what can be achieved when all the, or at least most of the pieces of your IoT architecture are open source, and what does it mean to build value and to compete on top of those open source building blocks. So Eclipse IoT started in 2010, 2011. So we've been around for a while. At the time, we were talking about machine to machine, actually, not necessarily IoT just yet. And so 7, 8 years down the road, we were at a point where we have close to 3 million lines of code across 37 different projects. So obviously, Eclipse Smart Home is one, but there's lots of other areas where we are pretty active, and we will see that in just a few slides. Like Kai said, I think the morning sessions won't be that technical, and my session is certainly not very technical, but I want to give you an overview of the projects that we have. A huge community, and probably among those 350 plus contributors, I guess I should have looked it up before this talk, but I'm pretty sure it's over 100 that come from the smart home community, and many other areas are also very active. And we do lots of promotion of the technology portfolio and of what we do, and our various web channels have a pretty decent traffic. So this would be our member companies, 42, I think, to this day, and I will go into more details with regards to the sort of the typical profiles, if you will, of the kind of companies that get involved, just to give you a sense of why companies essentially decide that they want to join the IoT, the Eclipse IoT initiative. A few slides about the technology and some name dropping, I guess, with regard to the kind of projects that we have in our portfolio. And those projects would typically, I think you're probably familiar with this sort of architecture, even if you use maybe different terminology for different aspects. But in general, an IoT solution will have some constrained remote devices, usually your sensors and your actuators, gateways that help provide the connectivity and the edge processing capabilities, and obviously the cloud, where you store your data, where you manage your inventory, etc. Some topics like security, semantics, tools, and SDKs are probably more sort of across the board. Constrained devices. So let me get this straight. This is not necessarily our focus at Eclipse IoT. I guess for you in the room, when you talk devices, you don't even think about building your own constrained device and sensor. You get off-the-shelf home automation equipment anyways. But for those folks who need to build their own constrained battery-powered devices, they still need some support, like in terms of real-time operating system, protocols like Bluetooth and 6LoWPAN and whatnot. So what's available out there in open source to do just that? There's a lot. Like, there's lots of open source projects already available, like real-time operating systems that have IoT support, like in terms, again, of protocols, etc. So Arm Embed, Amazon FreeRTOS, Zephyr from Intel. And like there are great solutions. The thing that's interesting, actually, is that although Eclipse IoT is not necessarily providing like a full stack for constrained devices, those third-party operating systems, they actually reuse some of the stuff coming out of Eclipse, like our MQTT embedded implementations, for example, with the Eclipse Paho project, our device management stack with Eclipse Wakaama for the lightweight M2M protocol. So, I mean, Eclipse IoT still has some technology that's relevant in the area. Gateways, so this is where you take sensors, industrial equipment, cars, whatever, and you bridge them to the internet. So Eclipse Cura is a really like powerful sort of generic framework, I guess, as opposed to smart home, that allows to provide an application framework for building your gateway. So it provides all the like all the network management capabilities. When you build an IoT gateway, usually you don't mind if the gateway also provides you with like a firewall, the ability to set up Wi-Fi hotspots and that kind of stuff. So Cura certainly does that, but it also provides a framework that allows you to to basically create your own applications that can be managed remotely, and the applications will talk Bluetooth, OPC, UA, Modbus, whatever, and can be anything. It's not like there's a strong framework, like development framework, like there is in smart home, but it's actually on purpose. The framework is really, really generic. Another gateway framework is Eclipse Smart Home, and this is where I just go out of the room and I just leave it to you guys today to learn more about Smart Home if you don't already. But of course, Smart Home is another great gateway solution that we have in the Eclipse IoT portfolio. And last but not least, the cloud. And this is an area where we're pretty strong and really active these days. What do you need for an IoT cloud? What is specific to IoT in a cloud platform? Like when you talk cloud, you suddenly want to store data. You want to maybe have some kind of web interfaces and dashboards. But things that are really IoT specific are, for example, the device connectivity. How do you ingest data in your IoT backend in a way that's sort of agnostic of what protocol you use? Some of you might be familiar with MQTT, but MQTT is just one, right? There's also legacy devices out there that might be talking HTTP, some other devices that plan on sending data using FTP, that kind of stuff. How, from a cloud perspective, and from even more so from an application developer point of view, how do you make sure that when you build your smartphone application or whatever is your end-user application, you don't want to worry about how to effectively interact with the devices? So Hono, Eclipse Hono, provides just that, the equivalent of the Azure IoT Hub or whatever AWS calls the equivalent of this generic connectivity layer. Another important aspect of an IoT cloud is all things device management. When you have devices in the field, how do you make sure that they are up to date? How do you make sure that if you have a bug or a security issue that you want to fix, you can efficiently roll out your software upgrade? If you have thousands of devices, rolling out the software upgrade might actually be challenging, because if you have, say, a 100 megabyte firmware, you don't want to push this firmware to all your thousands of devices at the same time. It will kill your network. You will be at risk of breaking your device all at the same, your devices all at the same time, if there is a yet another bug in that particular firmware. So all the intelligence for rolling out software, for figuring out your device inventory, what kind of version of software you are running, is in the scope of Eclipse Hawkbit and Eclipse Leshan, more specifically for devices that use the lightweight M2M protocol. Digital Twin, how do you have a cloud API that's a representation and that's reflecting the capabilities of your actual devices and provide you with a way to interact with the devices, no matter whether they are effectively accessible at a given point in time or not. Think about, I don't know, a light bulb. When you talk to the light bulb API in the cloud, you want to switch on and off. but the light bulb might not actually be connected at that very point in time. So the cloud API needs to allow you to set basically a desired state for the device. And whenever the device comes online, your digital twin stack will reconcile the state of the physical twin with the, its digital counterpart. So Eclipse Dito does just that. And so, like I said, lots of name dropping. You can certainly do some research if you want to learn more about the projects. Those are microservices, right, if you will, for building your IoT cloud. At some point, you need integration. And that's what the Eclipse Capua platform provides. So think about well, the equivalent of the kind of interface you would have in Azure or AWS that federates all your different microservices. Capua does just that. So provides a web dashboard, provides integrated set of APIs. And all of the above runs on Kubernetes, on Cloud Foundry, like all kinds of paths that you would find out there. So, and I don't have my watch. How long do I have left? 5 minutes, sounds good. So that's for the technology. And again, iot.eclipse.org or Google is your best friend if you want to learn more about the projects. I said I would be spending some time on our ecosystem and the kind of companies that get involved. So we have the likes of Bosch and Siemens who, like when you talk about billions of devices, well, they are producing billions of sensors, like literally. So for them, open source software and open standards are really a way to provide and to achieve interoperability, especially in the realm of Industry 4.0, right? All across the supply chain, it's actually important that all the people and companies involved share the same standards, share the same way to expose and exchange sensor data so that we can really well achieve what Industry 4.0 is aiming for, right? Interoperability, better like safety and just in general being able to collect meaningful data. Software vendors like Red Hat, Canonical, Influx Data, they package Eclipse IoT software. Like there are like snaps, for example, for OpenHAB, or there are distros that will provide commercial support for some of the Eclipse IoT projects. So for companies like these ones, they really want to showcase their expertise and why their commercial solutions are maybe better than others and do better than vanilla open source solutions. So they get engaged through test beds, for example, and they demonstrate how their stuff, like how they build on top of open source. Hardware vendors like Sierra, Samsung, Intel, they want to have good solutions to provide a way to manage remotely and keep their modules and their hardware up to date. So device management standards like Lightweight M2M, they promote reference implementations that are being developed at Eclipse. Telcos like Orange or Deutsche Telekom, obviously getting into the smart home space is important because it means that they can like provide more value to the consumers, like in terms of maybe DSL or cable boxes that have home automation capabilities. System integrators and IT services companies, obviously they want to showcase their expertise. We do research projects as well, so this is also a way like Eclipse IoT is a way for those research communities to have to disseminate the results of their research projects. And two more slides about what we do and basically the programs that we have for our community, the companies that are involved, but also the individuals. I guess the first row is more for individuals, or at least for people, rather than for companies. The Virtual IoT Meetup, if you don't know the Virtual IoT Meetup, you probably know meetup.com and you've attended some meetup in person. Our Virtual IoT Meetup is webinars that we organize every 2 weeks with IoT experts. So just subscribe to our meetup and watch out and look out for future webinars. the Open IoT Challenge. Every year, we have some sponsors that help us put together a nice prize pool. And the goal, basically, of the challenge is we ask people to build cool IoT projects on top of open source and on top of Eclipse IoT. So we are just opening the Open IoT Challenge, this year's Open IoT Challenge this week. So if you guys are building really cool stuff on top of Smart Home and Open App, you may want to apply. And if you have any questions, we can certainly talk more today about your ideas and whether I think it's a good idea. For example, the developer survey, we ask people what they do in IoT, and you can check out the results of this year's survey, like basically what programming languages people use, what protocols. And then we have things that are more aimed at showing what you can do with Eclipse IoT. So certainly the marketplace, where I know some of you are probably showcasing Eclipse Smart Home and Open App plugins, test beds that are a way for companies to showcase how, for a particular vertical, for a particular scenario, what does it mean to use open source in the first place? Like, I want to build a real like commercial solution. Open source sounds a bit scary because it's like unmaintained, like at least in appearance, unmaintained software. How can I build my solution with open source? Where should I start? What companies can help me with commercial support and expertise? That's what we showcase through our test beds. So we have two as of today. I would love to have more. So if you have ideas in that area, we should certainly talk more. And last slide is what's coming next. And like, there's a lot happening. Fog computing is certainly an area where we will see more and more projects and activities, essentially blurring the line between edge computing and gateways and the cloud, and having a more versatile way to manage payloads, if you will, and containers for like doing image recognition and video analysis and storage. What if all those capabilities could be anywhere, really? And that's what fog computing is all about. And depending on the capabilities of your gateways or your cloud platform or your constrained devices, you can have software running anywhere in this fog, really. Some interesting things happening around industrial IoT with new standards like Sparkplug for bringing MQTT to the next level in terms of industrial automation. And last but not least, deep learning for J, and I think that might be interesting for a home automation crowd. Some of you may be using things like maybe TensorFlow for analyzing and figuring out what all the data that you're collecting is all about. With Eclipse Deep Learning for J, you have a Java equivalent to that, and so you can train models and maybe do I don't know, like recognize some patterns in the way you use your electricity at home or in the way you are I don't know, consuming your hot water. Check out Deep Learning for J. There's lots of examples, and it's actually compatible with models that you may have trained with other competing solutions like TensorFlow. And with that, that was my short, fast, quick introduction to Eclipse IoT. I'm obviously here all day and all week, so I'll be happy to chat more if you have any questions. Thank you.